horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Good morning, Miss Tammy. What's up?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to have fun today. We're talking about something that's very unique. We're going to into our study of chapter 24 called the judgment. Let me see if I can show you. Judgment, Gog and Magog battle, and the bottomless pit. So yeah, end times and 1,000 years of peace. This one is a study that I don't think a lot of people have done. I don't know. It's just the Gog and Magog battle is not something that's talked about very much. And really, it's very important because it's I think one of the keys to understanding the book of Revelation. This is what really helped me to piece this together way back in the day. So if you guys are new here, definitely come and check our website, freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live. When you scroll down a little bit, you'll see some information about the books that this one is what we're doing right now, The End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, the study guide. I hope you guys have done your homework. Everybody ready? Have you done your homework? And we just look at the current events in the light of God's word, because what we're experiencing, everybody say it with me, it's biblical. It's biblical. It's not just huge. It's literally biblical. If you need to catch up on some of the videos that we've done, because we were, like I said, all the way on, I think this is study number 25, but it's chapter 24 in the book. If you need to catch up, you can go over on freedomforce.live, go to the video section. You'll see this little button right here, small group end time study live. And that's the one I want you to click on, because that's the one we've been doing here recently. And so you can scroll all the way through and catch up on any of the topics that maybe you might have missed. And so here we are. Yeah, this is group study number 25, chapter 24 in the book. Don't forget to hit that like button, everybody. Hit the like button right now before we forget, because we're going to jump in here and go through I'm going to forget to tell you again. If you need to get the books, they're on Amazon. The books are, these are actually $12.99, because they're really big and they're really in the thick. This is the answer key, but the one I'll go ahead and share this link on, in the chat, because this one is, the one that doesn't have the answers. That's what I want you guys to do, is the one that doesn't have the answers, because that way you can't cheat. Sometimes you think you know the answer, but really when you don't have the answers right there, it forces you to really think through it. Good morning, everybody. All right, we're going to get started. I'm glad to see you guys. And so we're going to get started. And would you pray for us, Miss Tammy?
Yes. Okay. Good morning, Lord. We just love you and we praise you. We honor you. We thank you for today. We just pray for each person here today. And we just ask that we all have our minds and heart on what it is you would have to say to us today. Yes. And I'd give a little extra prayer, Lord, to pray for Melly this week as we get prepared for her meeting next week when we're out of town, for each person that's going to be there, for each person that's working to make it all come together to get the word out. So what we're speaking here, Lord, we just ask that you help us to spread it even further. Yes. We just ask, Lord, to all voices be silenced, and that we all hear and say and do your will. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tammy. I'm so glad that you're my sidekick to help me to do this. I just appreciate you so much. Everybody loves Tammy, right? Everybody loves Tammy. All right. So here we go. Now, like I said, this is really different. This is not really talked about. In of all the end time studies that I've ever heard, they talk about Armageddon, but they don't. And they talk about premillennial, postmillennial, all this. But hearing about Gog and Magog is like never. It never happens. Never happens. All right. So let's get started. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger and let's get going now. Go ahead.
Okay. I probably should put this chapter at the beginning, this study guide, because it is the key to understanding where we are on the end times timeline. Once I realize the Gog and Magog battle happens after the 1,000 years of peace, everything else in the book of Revelation started to fall right into place. 1, why do you think the Gog and Magog battle is hardly ever discussed?
All right.
Just going to ask it again at the end of the study.
Right, right. And because you don't know what you don't know, right? And so literally when I first started studying, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know this is end times. What is this? Because 17 had actually talked about it. It posted end times, biblical. And so I'm like, okay, I need to really find out what is 17 talking about this. And I began to really research and really study, and I couldn't find anything online that really connected in my spirit with what was going on. And so, you know, I read the entire book of Revelation through twice. I ended up writing these the whole book in my own words, just like what things just jumped out at me as I was reading. And the thing that really helped me the most is when I, you know, looked at the order, and I realized the Gog and Magog battle was not talked about. And why is that? It's because it's after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. That's when the Gog and Magog battle is. And this is an amazing battle that happens. And, you know, I know you and I want to be like, okay, when we get to the millennial kingdom, can we just be done? But there's a reason that there has to be a final battle. We'll get to that in just a second. But I really believe is the case is that they don't want us to think about the Gog and Magog battle because they want us to get it out of order and think that we're escaping Earth. I really think that that was the reasoning for that. And, you know, it's hard because so many people, it's been put into our mental processes, into our psyche, that it's hard to come out of that thought process to think that we're going to enter into this 1,000 years of peace on earth without escaping earth. So some religions don't really talk about it, but the Protestants really have. Yeah, so a lot. So this is what a lot, this is why we're really trying to go to this event, trying to go to different ways to help people understand that this is the beautiful golden age is upon us, and we're not escaping. I've even heard two people this week talk about, you know, it's time for Jesus to come, like, get us out of here. It's really in the psyche, and these are people who are not necessarily, you know, strong Christians, you know, but this is in their psyche. Anyway, you're going to really enjoy this. You're going to really get a lot out of this big piece of the puzzle. All right, so now number 2.
My least favorite Bible verse is Revelation 27. Right. When the 1,000 years comes to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. Why in the world will the Lord lose Satan after the 1,000 years of peace on the earth?
Right. I hate to say that. I hate to say that a Bible verse is not my favorite, but this one isn't my favorite. It says that Satan will be let out of his prison. You know, we talked about last week, if you guys were listening and were here, we talked about how Satan would be cast into the pit. The beast and the false prophet and Satan are cast into the pit, and you know they're locked up. The beast and the false prophet never come out again. Can you imagine? Here we are on the 26th of April. We've had some people at the top of religious institutions, whether it's, you know, whichever one, the ones at the top have used this for evil purposes, for deceptive purposes. And today was the day when Pope Francis just had his funeral. I believe that there's bright days coming for the Catholic Church. I believe there's bright days coming for every religious institution because it's going to be used for good for the people and not for deception, right? Amen. So this is where we're headed. And you know, we're going to have that, but right now the beast and the false prophet will have to be cast out. Praise the Lord. And Satan will be cast out too. But then after the 1,000 years, Satan is let out of his prison. Why? I didn't say that in the book. Why? And it's because there's something really big. Something really big. Our Lord Jesus has to rule over death. He has to rule over death. He has to cast out that enemy of ours, that horrible enemy called death. I see all the amens. Y'all are like, yes, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have, the golden age has to have good people in the religious institutions who are leading. Good people leading the government, good people leading the religious institutions. Praise the Lord. Instead of all this trafficking of children and deception. All right, so yeah, it has to be, something has to happen after the 1,000 years, because as much as we love the golden age, as much as we love this 1,000 years of peace on earth, there's still death. And that has to end. We have to end death. And that's what our Lord Jesus is going to do. So go ahead and read number 3. I'm going to try to make it a little tiny bit bigger for those of you, especially if you're looking at it on your phone. Go ahead. Number 3.
In order to answer question number 2, remember that during the millennial kingdom on earth, there will still be death. Death must be conquered. What does that mean for all of humanity for death to be conquered? See 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 52. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed.
Amen. This is the wonderful promise. It's going to happen. I mean, this is actually talked about. You know, I hear people teach that. But this is what we're going to talk about today, is when does that happen? When does that happen? And so this is, in my opinion, this is what the Gog and Magog battle is about. At that point of the Gog and Magog battle is when this beautiful passage happens, this wonderful thing he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52, we will not all die, but we will all be transformed. We'll all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the New King James says, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, eternal, incorruptible bodies. Okay? And we who are living will also be transformed. So the people who have died, the people who are still alive, everybody at that same moment will be transformed. All right? Because our Lord Jesus is the ruler even over, he's going to prove that he's the ruler even over death. So during the millennial kingdom, there's still death. And so won't happen until 1,000 years from now. Okay? So that is the reason for the Gog and Magog battle. All right, number 4.
Okay. What will Satan do when he is loosed? He will go out to deceive the nations, called Magog and Magog, in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army, as numberless as sand along the seashore.
Yeah. Which, okay, you and I, we're at the point where, like, we're over all this deception. We're over all this evil happening on the earth. And we're just so ready for, you know, for Satan to be cast out. And so it's hard to even think about that happening, that he's loosed again. But he will go out to deceive people. That's what he does. He's a deceiver. So it's hard to imagine what it's going to look like at that point. Is this going to kind of be like a metaverse type of place? I mean, it's impossible to even imagine what 1,000 years from now it's going to look like, really. This, you know, just imagine, you know, like our grandparents were born, mine at least, were born in the horse and buggy days. You know, they saw cars, they saw airplanes during their lifespan. Now, our lifespan, we've seen all of a sudden the computers and, you know, wherever you can I was just talking to my mom. She's on the other side of the world. She's on my Telegram. I mean, it's just amazing that we can, you know, what the technology has been. We've seen the AI. You know, it is impossible for us to imagine what 1,000 years from now will be like. Just like when John was shown this vision and he's saying, hey, there's going to be a, you know, this statue that speaks. And I think he was probably looking at a vision of what a TV would look like. You know, but he just had no idea what this could be. You know, he just really didn't understand what that technology was. Same thing for us. We can't imagine 1,000 years from now what the technology, what it'll be like. But either way, he's loosed. He's going to deceive. He's going to gather everybody for a battle. It's basically, again, the same type of battle, I'm thinking, is good versus evil. Who, you know, which side are you on? And so that's what it looks like. Some people are. Do fall for it. Because the only way, Tammy, what's the only way that we can keep from being deceived?
And through Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that what you're saying?
Amen. Yeah, that's the church answer, right? That's the answer. But yeah, it's, you know, only by having our lamps trimmed and listening to him, right? That's the only hope for us.
Be prepared. Be prepared. Yes.
And just to listen carefully to him all the time. Say, Lord, guide me through. Guide me into all truth. Holy Spirit, guide me. And keeping our lives close to him and keeping our life like the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. The wise virgins kept their lamps trimmed, keeping the Holy Spirit brightly burning in our hearts. And that way we can, you know, listen and hear from him carefully and not listen. You know, he says the voice of the enemy, they will not listen to. Remember, Jesus is our good shepherd, and he guides us, but we have to be listening. And so, it's hard because sheep are a lot of times deceived. Yeah. I just saw something this morning. It was so funny. It wasn't fun. It was kind of funny. Oh, there were sheep all out in the water. They were all swimming. What happened? How did these sheep get in the water? Well, the boat kind of tipped, and they were in these cages, and they all just jumped in the water. They all, you know... And now it's like everybody's having to fish them out of the water. It was quite the scene. But, you know, sheep are so easily, you know, led astray, right? And so it's really important that we listen carefully. And that's what's going to happen. Something's going to happen to lead the people astray 1,000 years from now. Okay, not that we have to worry about that today. All right. All right, so now, number 5.
Okay. According to Revelation 28, are more humans deceived into siding with Satan?
Yes, which we just talked about. Yes, they are. All right, number 6.
Do you have any idea what it might look like when they surrounded God's people? Try to fast forward in your mind 1,000 years. I don't think we can envision what life on earth will be like then any more than John could have envisioned this digital internet battle of Armageddon. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, can anyone even imagine what it might be like that they surrounded God's people? So anybody have any thoughts on that? Go ahead and shout it out. Do you have any thoughts on that, Miss Tammy?
Oh, I think it'll be a definite line made on who is good and who is evil. You know, there will be no doubt during that final battle.
And they attack, you know, just like we're right now, they're attacking us. I mean, little old me, I'm nobody. I mean, and they just constantly are attacking our channel. Little old us right here, the Freedom Force Battalion, you know, they surround us and attack us, you know, and I get all these... You know, they remove people from the channel and they, you know, come at us with these bots and just, I mean, y'all seen the bots. I don't have to tell you. They're just constant. It's like, you know, but they surround us to try to stop us because evil hates good. And they don't want someone calling out. The reason that they do that is because we're calling out the crimes. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what they can't abide by. You know, every day that's what we do. And I'm so appreciative of everybody, you know, doing this, even though we get attacked, even though they surround us, that's okay, because we're doing the job that the Lord has given us to do, which was to expose the evil. If you aren't familiar with what we do over here, go to the social media on freedomforce.live. And, my little button is off the screen. Hang on real quick. Let me see if I can figure out why that little button is not on. There it is, freedomforce.live. There's this website name, freedomforce.live. If you go right here, you'll see all the social media, which my wonderful team makes sure to post all of the posts on. Tammy does. There's another wonderful Tammy and Colleen working hard to make sure that all these posts get over there so everyone can share them on all these different social media platforms. But, you know, this is what's going to, I'm sure the same thing. The evil is always trying to stop the good because the good is trying to stop the evil. And they don't want to be stopped. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be something like that. It's just impossible for us to try to understand exactly what it would be like. All right. So, number seven.
Whatever the Gog and Magog battle will be sounds terrifying. The Lord knows what it will be like, and He will be there with us and will guide everyone through. Yes. What does Revelation 29b say the Lord will do then?
Yes.
But fire from heaven came down and on the attacking armies and consumed them.
Yes, it does. It sounds terrifying. It sounds bad that we'd be surrounded, but we don't have to worry. We're not going to fear. The Lord has, Armageddon sounded terrifying, and it has been. It's been daunting, no doubt, but the Lord has seen us through. Look at you. Look at you, everybody. You've listened to the Lord and He has guided you through. He's protected you from doing, taking the jab or whatever. And either way, as Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If we were to pass, then we're immediately with the Lord. We're safe. Remember how our Lord Jesus, when He was in the guys were in the boat and they're freaking out. They're like, Lord, don't you even care about us? It's all that we're going to die. He says, where's your faith? Come on, dudes. Basically, He was saying, where's your faith? So the Lord will see us through no matter what it is. Just, we're not going to worry, even though it does sound terrifying. But what will the Lord do? Fire from heaven comes down and attacks the armies and consumes them. They will not be able to, if they've chosen the side of evil, they will be stopped one way or the other. They'll be consumed. So does that remind you of an Old Testament Bible story? That one right there about this fire coming down to attack them and consuming them. Does it remind you of one, Miss Tammy?
The one with, and I hope I have the name right, Elijah, where he called down the fire and the other guys were calling all day and nothing happened, but he just says, Lord, and boom.
Boom, bam, exactly. And all the Baal worshipers were destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it reminds me of that too. That's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Chapter 18. Let's see if I can find the.
And that's why I think too that they'll be clearly noted. People will not doubt who's on what side because they will be gone in a second, and you know it won't be a matter of worrying that somebody you care about deeply is on the wrong side. All right, it's going to be clear.
Yes, amen, mm-hmm. amen. So here's the passage here. They were summoned. Elijah said, summon them to Mount Carmel because they had been doing their rituals in this temple where they could control the fire underneath the sacrifice. And they would call on the Baal and, quote, Baal would light the fire. They wouldn't even have to light it. It would automatically light. And because they were in their temple. But now when they go to Mount Carmel, they don't have their cool little magical getup. So now they dance around. The 450 prophets of Baal dance around. The 450 prophets of Asherah dance around. Nothing happens. They're cutting themselves. They're carrying on and going crazy. And nothing happens. So then, but Elijah says, Lord, prove to everybody that you're the true and living God. That Baal is not the true and living God. And he said, like you mentioned, Tammy, he said that word and bam, the fire lit the altar, the water around it, everything. And everyone realized they'd been deceived. They'd been tricked. It's so easy again for the sheep to get tricked. And so they began to worship the true and living God. And they realized, they'd been misled. But then they said, okay, grab all these ones who have done all this evil because they've been doing this child sacrifice and all that. He says, grab them all. And they were all killed. Let me see if I can find that section. Okay. That's a little farther down. Let's see. Okay, so he says, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. So they were all destroyed, just like it's talking about right here in this passage, that they'll all be destroyed. So, yeah, it just reminded me of that. And if you haven't seen my books on This Is Biblical or listen to it, I have the audiobook over on freedomforce.live. But that story is in this book, This Is Biblical, because there's that story and 16 others that I talk about that we're actually watching play out, because all these wonderful Bible stories that we've known all of our lives are actually a roadmap for us. It's very, very encouraging. That's what I first started doing when I first started doing videos, was just telling Bible stories about how they're being played out before our eyes. All right, so now number 9, what is that?
This is one of my favorite Bible verses. How great is this? The earth will be at complete peace finally. Then the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Done. Stick a fork in it. It will be done at that point. At that point, there will be no more devil at all to come and deceive. No more deception ever. Now, for 1,000 years, there won't be deception until Satan is loosed. Remember, as we read that very first verse, it says that he'll be loosed after the 1,000 years. So yay, praise the Lord, we have a reprieve for 1,000 years. And everybody here, we're going to be here together for 1,000 years, because everybody's going to be healthy. And you're going to live long, long, healthy lives. Praise the Lord. And so, I don't know about 1,000 years, but hopefully so. Anyway, so they'll be gone forever, forever and ever. And along with that, there's no more death. Along with that. So there's 3 passages I want to compare so that you can see what they biblically are talking about, not because we've been misled about them. First one was the one we just talked about, which Tammy read, which was the 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about we'll be transformed in a moment, right? It'll happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, and those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Can you imagine? It's going to be awesome, right? Yeah. Oh, good. Marge is drinking her green smoothie. We're going to have bodies that the green smoothies are going to help us to live a long, long life. And then I guess the Lord will give us like this gigantic green smoothie and give us an immortal body. Anyway, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Imagine this, you guys. Fast forward to our loved ones who are in heaven. Okay, they're with the Lord. And I'm going to read to you in just a second how they will get their bodies too. They will have their bodies transformed, whether they've died or whether the person is alive. Everyone will get these immortal bodies. And so it's basically all that you did, Satan, all that you did had no effect. We're all good, and we're all back together again forever, and no, never to die. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. You guys envision this? This is what is going to happen. And likely, when you've gone to funerals, you've heard them say this very passage, right? You've heard this 1,000 times. And the question is, when does this happen? And it happens after the Gog and Magog battle, when Satan is destroyed and death is no more. Okay? So, the immortal green smoothie. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 4, our bodies were not made to die. Our bodies were made to live. That was what the way they were created. And yes, the Lord shortened our lifespan because of the evildoers that had come on the earth, but our bodies were not intended to die, and we're going to be back to that. It's going to be paradise restored. You ever read that book, Paradise Lost and Paradise Restored? Okay, so the companion verse, or the parallel verse to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. And this passage is used more than any other to teach rapture. But it's not talking about rapture. It's talking about what I just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's talking about the day when we will be transformed and to have bodies that never die anymore. And here it is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. Remember that just in the other verse, it was talking about the trumpet, right? At the last trumpet. Same thing at that last trumpet with the trumpet call of God. For the believers who have died will rise from their graves. In other words, you're like, well, but Nana is not in the grave. Well, her body is. Her body's in the grave, wherever it is. Okay, it's in the grave. The Lord is able to transform that body. You know, Nana's with the Lord in heaven. Her spirit is, but her body is not. So they'll be rejoined with an incorruptible body. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will be with the Lord forever. What is this talking about? It sounds very much like what, you know, we've heard this 1,000 times about rapture. But it's talking about that heaven and earth at that point are united. It doesn't, you can be in heaven, you can be on earth, either place, you are able to go freely from one place to the other because everyone has these incorruptible bodies. It's all unified. The only thing that's not unified is those who are in the pit, in the bottomless pit. All right? That's what's really going to happen. This is the really great, wonderful truth. Okay? So again, we've gone through the awakening. We've gone through the Battle of Armageddon. We cast out the evildoers. We have 1,000 years of peace on earth in this millennial kingdom, this golden age. And then after that, we have this, Satan is loosed. We have the Battle of Gog and Magog. And after that, heaven and earth merge. That is biblically what is going to happen. And that's the true, you know, interpretation of these passages that we've been, unfortunately, you know, that have been misinterpreted. And then we'll be with the Lord forever. What it means is that everyone will all be together. We will all be together forever. No more separation, right? That's the thing that we don't like about all this, what we're enduring right now. And even in the millennial kingdom, is there still separation? And we don't want that. That's got to stop. And so Jesus is going to rule over that too. We're going to read that verse here in just a second. And then Revelation 21:4 is another parallel passage to this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. All right. I hope that helps. That's helps me so much. It really took a lot of thought process to really piece all that together, because it's hard when we've been taught something different all of our lives and to come out of that misunderstanding. All right. Any other points that you wanted to make about that, Miss Tammy, before we go on?
No, I think you got it.
All right. Okay. All right. Good. So that's anybody, if you have any questions on the chat, I want to hear, and maybe Miss Songbird can put a little, alarm thing, and we can watch if anybody has questions, because this is really, really important. It's an important point, because the opposite thing that is taught is that we escape earth, the world is destroyed, and then the Lord brings us back to earth. And that's not really what it talks about here in these passages. These passages right here are specifically about after the 1,000 years of peace, that everyone will be transformed to live together in no more death or sorrow or crying. All right? Helps a lot. Thanks, Coast Rider. Go ahead.
I don't know, you know, verse 17, some people get caught up in the clouds part. But, yes. You know, we've gone over that so many times. You know,
yes.
It's the clouds of authority, and we're good. We'll be here.
Okay. That's a good point. So, yeah. And so, yeah, it's about, you know, and also just this, the whole thing of, you know, right now we think of everybody being, you know, separated out, know, and imagine if there's no reason for separation. Okay, we're in the mortal plane, and they're kind of in the immortal plane or whatever. They're in the where there's spirits, and the body doesn't work. The body doesn't work in heaven, right? And so, you know, here we are on this earth where imagine everything being just, I don't know, just transformed into a place where you can, you know, just there's no more death. It's just, it's hard for us to even imagine. But that's, it's, but if it's heaven also is, it's just everything is transformed into a place where there can be, there won't be any death. All right. And so, and really we've been, so much of our thoughts have been seeded into thinking that we, this caught up in the clouds is to escape earth. And that's not what it's talking about. Like Tammy said, it's caught up in this thing of authority of that, that humanity is raised to this higher level of immortality, right? That's really what it's talking about. And that everyone together, we will all be with the Lord forever. All right. Thank you. That was a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Number 10.
Okay, based on the verses and questions number 11, what happens to believers' bodies and spirits during this transformation? Do you believe this is also called the redemption of the body in Romans 8:23?
Yes.
And not, oh.
Go
yes.
ahead. No, keep going. Go ahead.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Amen. Awesome. Okay. Yes. So someone had a question on here about cremation. What if there's no body? Well, even, you know, the Lord knows how to do all that. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. You know, there's a lot, you know, our bodies completely disintegrate, right? After all this time. So it's hard to even imagine, you know, how he's going to do it, but we don't have to worry about any of that. The Lord is able to, you know, create a body. I don't even know how he's going to do it. He's going to make a new body for us though, that can't die. And it'll be like our Lord Jesus's body. Remember, and this is, I'm so thankful that we, you know, have the story of what happened when our Lord Jesus rose. And not that his body saw decay, but he was raised, and they could, you know, they could touch him. Remember how they put their hands on the scars? They put their hands on him. They were able to talk to him, and he was able to eat. And you know, the fish didn't fall out. It was when he had a real body. It wasn't like a spirit where you could put your hand through his body. It was a real flesh and bone body. But it was a very interesting body that he could appear in a room, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of a cool body. Kind of like a superhero body. It's just, you know, you can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, that gives us a beautiful idea, some example of, you know, then he ascended to heaven. Like it was nothing, right? Just ascending right to heaven. It's because he had this resurrected body. He's the first fruits, and that we have the first fruits of the Spirit too. And today, and we need to do our seventh one. Today is our seventh day of the counting of the Omer. We are the first fruits. This is the whole first fruit celebration. It's the first fruits of those who have His Spirit, and it's the first fruits of those who one day will have this resurrected body. Okay, so yeah, so don't worry about that. He can very easily raise us into having an incorruptible body, and don't have to worry about him finding the raw materials. All right. So, but as far as this passage in Romans 8:23, it says, "We ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." And, you know, and the older we get, the more we groan, because right. The more we realize this body is wearing out, you start to get the gray hair, and then your eyesight starts to go, and then you start to have teeth problems, and you have aches and pains and all of that going on. This new body won't have any of that. No more of that. And so the redemption of our body is where it's going to be switched out trade it out, the out with the old, in with the new. He'll give us this new body that can never die, just like our Lord Jesus has the body that can never die. So again, like a superhero. So we are waiting.
No worry and sin.
No more sin. No more
sorrow.
Yes, no more sorrow. Yeah. Everything set right. But it's all got to happen in the right timing. It's, you know, when Satan is cast out. All right. So, this is talked about. If you look, as you're reading the word, you'll see this sprinkled throughout God's word. This is just one place in Romans 8 where it talks about it, and as if it's common knowledge that, of course, one day we're going to have bodies that can never die. And Paul talks about it as like an adoption. Our bodies will be adopted or redeemed, and no more. Redeemed is thinking of it as trading it out and so that this is no more of this old dying body, but this new this body that never dies. And so, we already have experienced the transformation in our spirits because of the Lord coming to dwell within us. In the same way, it's going to happen with our bodies. All right? So imagine that. So much of our time is spent on, what if I get sick? Or, I've got this ailment. Or, I've got to get insurance. Or, all this is spent on that, dealing with all of that. And, and the cabal has not helped at all with Big Harma. This is going to, all that will be gone, over with. None of that anymore. All right, number 11.
Do you believe this is yet another parallel passage talking about the moment we receive our incorruptible bodies? 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment.
There you go. Just like I was saying, it's sprinkled all throughout God's word. Here's another passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, talking about this day when all this will happen. Everything will be transformed. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. Okay, so look at this. This really helps to answer that question probably better than I did before. Look at this. The very elements themselves will disappear. I don't think Adam and Eve in the garden had these kinds of bodies. I think they just had some like golden light bodies or something. I don't know. Just so, yes, they could. You could touch them. There's just something special about these new bodies. Now, our Lord Jesus has tamped down his glory, so, they could, not be afraid of him. Remember when he was transformed, though, and they got to see him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration? They were flipping out. They're like, we never saw such a thing. It was all shiny and all that. So, somehow or another, this new world is just going to be so different, so much, so beautiful. Our bodies will be beautiful, no wrinkles, no fat, no saggy stuff. Everything will be beautiful and redeemed, and the world to go along with it. Okay, so we can't have it's all going to happen at the same moment, and so everything is going to disappear in fire. But the thing that lasts is things that are like gold, right? When gold is in a furnace, it remains. Everything else is burned up, but this gold. So think of it like that. It's very precious. Can't be harmed, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. In other words, everything that's, as in another passage, it talks about that all these things that are, stubble will disappear, will just be burned up. And of course, at that point, it's talking about our works. It's talking about, if you've done something that was really just, you just did it for yourself, then you don't really get any reward for that. That's specifically talking about rewards, but it's also talking about this picture of this new world is going to be all the fluff, all the things that are not helpful are going to be gone. All right. So I think it is another parallel passage. So like I said, as you're reading the word, just keep your eyes out for passages like that, and you'll see it everywhere. You'll see this promises all throughout God's word of the beautiful day that we will have the transformation not only of our bodies, but also of the entire world. All right, number 12.
If 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55, Revelations 20, 14, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, and 17 occur after the Battle of Armageddon and describe humanity putting on immortality, what effect does that have on the modern-day rapture teaching, the beast taking over the world, and the Lord destroying all of humanity? That explains why the Gog and Magog battle is never discussed.
Right. That does that make sense to you guys? That is exactly why they never, ever discuss Gog and Magog. We're hard-pressed to find any passages, any sermons about Gog and Magog. You always hear about Armageddon and how it's going to destroy humanity indiscriminately and all that. Which is not the case. It's obviously Armageddon is about destroying the beast and the false prophet. That's very, very clear. Those who've taken this mark of the beast, they've joined in league with the demons to destroy humanity, and they'll be cast out. Clearly, that's what it's talking about. We just did that last week. But, you know, this is why the Gog and Magog battle is never discussed, because then you start to go, oh, that's after the 1,000 years of peace. Where's the 1,000 years of peace? Oh, that's after Armageddon, after we cast out the beast and the false prophet. So that that's why it's never discussed. Yep. Now we know. Okay, but the great news is we know now, and we're going to be we're not afraid. This is such great news. There's a lot of people, and you may not have heard this, but there are a lot of people who are sitting under their beds, crouched in the fetal position, afraid, because they're like, the world's going to fall to the beast, and we've got to escape Earth, and Jesus is coming any minute to escape, to get us out of here. And you'll hear songs about it on the Christian radio. They've seen it, or thought you've seen the movies about it. And this is why I'm trying so hard to help share this truth with people, so that they are not only not afraid, but also just so filled with hope and excitement about our future. It really, really is hugely important, because it changes your whole dynamic of how you look at the world and the great expectations for our beautiful future. Thank you, President Trump, for always talking about the golden age, because he believes what I'm talking about. He doesn't believe we're going anywhere. And actually, the other day when Mike Lindell was on the show, we talked about it. I don't think it was when he was on the show, but maybe afterward. And I'm like, he's always talking with such great expectation and hope. And I'm like, I said, I believe we're entering into a golden age. We're going to have 1,000 years of peace on earth. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he sounded like he really agreed with that. So anyway, all right. So number 13.
If we are not escaping earth and God is not destroying humanity indiscriminately, what is our mindset toward humanity, the world, and our future?
Yes. Kind of like what I just said.
Yeah.
But more than that, even, is that, think of the people who are Muslims. When you think of that God's going to come and indiscriminately destroy them, then you're like, well, what do I care? This is horrible, but this is what ends up happening. Whenever there's a false teaching, it leads you to think wrong about a lot of different things. It's very insidious. And so, on the other hand, if the Lord is coming to rescue humanity, then all of a sudden these people who are in, these other countries who have different beliefs, they have amazing value and worth, and we want to fight to protect them. You see the difference? It's hugely, hugely important. Hugely important. The Lord is not angry with them. They've been deceived if they have any misunderstanding, just like we've been deceived about different things. We've all been misled by this cabal. The Lord is angry with the evildoers, right? Not with the people who are just, good people who are trying to live their lives and raise their families. So our mindset toward humanity is to rescue humanity, right? And to rescue the world and our bright, bright future for everyone. And that we want everyone to be treated fairly. No more slavery. No more oppression. No more of that. So, yeah. I think that's hugely, hugely important. Did I say hugely enough? All right. So now, number 14. Go ahead and read that one for me. Oh, you know what? Okay. So now, I'll go ahead and read this one. But, this is going to probably be a preview for next week, because I have a feeling we're already almost an hour in. And I'm afraid if we try to take on this next part, then it's going to be too much. We'll probably be here for another hour. So go ahead and read that passage real quick before we
Okay.
wrap it up.
What happens after the battle of Gog and Magog? Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
All right. Thank you so much, Tammy. All right. So, yeah, so after the Gog and Magog battle is the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment, where everything is sorted out. Okay, and we go into talking about that in the book. So you have time to do more study on that. And if you didn't get to finish your Bible study this week on this topic. So I think that it'd be better for us to save that portion for next week, because I really wanted to focus today on the Gog and Magog battle. So again, the topic, this is the order. Let me see if I can find that pass that thing real quick. Actually, you know what? I'll show it to you like right here. I just created something new today, this week. When you go to freedomforce.live and you go to the end times page, freedomforce.live/endtimes, you'll see this video right here that says the truth about end times in 4 minutes. Let me see if I can.
Hey there, Patriot.
Okay, I'm going to show you real quick. I'm going to see if I can open this up a little bit bigger and see if I can get to the passage right here where it shows you the picture. Yeah, there you go. I've got it right here. All right, so right here it tells you the order that we're talking about of end times. The tribulation, where we realize we've been misled and we've been, are the wars and the disease and the poverty. It's been in tribulation upon tribulation. It has not been, thank God, a nuclear holocaust. It has been the all this evil to try to destroy humanity, but it's not. It hasn't been, because they didn't want to destroy all this for themselves. All right, so they wanted this for themselves. All right, so then let me see if I can find that passage, find it right quick. I want to make sure that you guys are seeing this. You guys see this? Okay, good. And then we have the Great Awakening, where we have awakened to what they were doing, right? And then we've had the Battle of Armageddon. And then next is the Golden Age, where we have 1,000 years of peace on earth with health and wealth for everyone. And then the Battle of Gog and Magog, where Satan is loosed for a season. But then after that, he's destroyed and no more sin or death. We have the new heaven and the new earth with the new bodies and all of that. All right. So I hope that is helpful. I hope that is helpful for you guys. To see
age, 1,000.
Oh, I was like, who's that talking? It's me. To see that, how it's the order that is happening. So you definitely check into that more and share that page, freedomforce.live/endtimes, and they can see more about it, and they can see more about the books, they can see more about the study guide, you can see more about the videos that we've been doing, the live studies, and also all the different studies that we've had. Also, you can see more about the audiobooks if you want to listen to the books, because it really helps you to piece it together in your mind. I think that is it. Is there anything else we need to tell about Miss Tammy?
No, but I wanted to finish the thought real quick. Last week we talked about families being reunited, and this week you're talking about other nations. I think it's the same type of division on a larger level. So all the division with all the nations will end. And yes, it's not that we're going to destroy someone who believes differently than us.
Amen.
I think we're all going to come together.
Amen.
So
yes,
that's my
yes.
biggest prayer.
Yes.
Unity.
Oh, it just it's hard to even imagine, because there's been so much division. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so this is the promise. Yeah, we talked about the woman at the well. Is that what you were talking about? We talked about that.
Yeah, and we were just talking about, you know, brothers and sisters, mothers and kids, yet last that will no longer be fighting each other on a larger scale. They've divided nations. That's what's keeping us from being united,
right,
by the different ways they tell us to believe.
Right, right.
Our minds.
Yes. And we also, I think I had mentioned maybe last week or maybe in another video, how the woman at the well was talking to the Lord Jesus, and he said, he was talking to her about, you know, that about the about worship, and she says, I know that when the Messiah comes, that he will explain all these things to us. Now, she was a Samaritan, and they were talking about the division. Basically, they're sitting there 2,000 years ago talking about the division between the people in Samaria and the people in Jerusalem, and they had these religious differences and cultural differences and whatever. And they really, it, you look through it, and you start to see, you know, lots of times they just they had so much animosity toward each other, and so that will end. That will end. Imagine when everyone, you know, is every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. He's the King for the millennial kingdom. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So let's keep doing our counting of the Omer. This is such a hopeful festival. A hopeful. You count up toward it for 7 weeks. We're going to be doing this. And we're going to watch and see exactly what's going to be happening in the world, because a lot has happened in this just this first week. A lot has happened. And so we're going to watch and see exactly, you know, how much more happens. And I would love it if this year on the day of Pentecost is the Mass Start Awakening. I would love it if this was the Jubilee, the financial reset. That'd be great. We will see. One day, this is going to happen. All right, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you and thank you that you are the King of the world, that you have the power to do all these things we've been talking about. You are the one whose blood washes away our sins so that, and that fills us with your Spirit so that we have the power to do all these things, and we are connected, reconnected with you again, and we can hear from you. Then you guide us all the day. Every day, all the day long, we praise you and thank you that you do. And also, Lord, we just thank you that you have the power to transform our bodies. You have the power to cast out Satan and the power to cast out the beast and the false prophet and to transform our bodies in this entire world, because you are truly the King of the world, and that no one can stop you. No one can stay your hand. And it's all according to your perfect plan and your perfect timing. And so, Lord, we just put our trust in you, and we're not going to worry about one little thing. We're just going to walk with you and listen to your voice every day. Lord, all this truth that you've helped us to piece together, I just pray that you'll just help us to share that with somebody today who needs to know, and not to be afraid and filled with fear and maybe animosity toward people that they don't even know. Lord, help us to start this, where we bring this peace in the world and this unity back into the world. And the only ones we don't have unity with is the ones who are working against your kingdom, the Satan worshipers. And Lord, we just thank you that you have the power to cast them out. We thank you that you are the King, and that we get to rule and reign with you. We pray your blessing on everyone on the battalion, everyone who's fighting hard in this battle of Armageddon. We pray for everyone who is on the front lines, Mike Lindell and President Trump and Bannon and all these ones who are fighting so hard and in harm's way. We pray that you would just strengthen them for this battle so that they can get the truth out and cast the enemy out. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right. Love you guys. It's time to go. We'll be in the chat for just a little bit longer. And after that, and then don't forget, I'll see you guys tomorrow morning on our regular Sunday morning worship show at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. All right, guys. Love you. And we will talk to you later. Mm-hmm.